As you know, we've been going through a series called Case for Faith by Lee Strobel, and we've had several messages that were just great messages, but very challenging, hopefully. And as we were praying this morning, hopefully some good words and seeds were sown in. And today, we're blessed with Tom Milligan's going to come and share with us and continue our series. So.
Good morning. This morning in Sunday school, I was asked a really great question by my friend Arthur. He said, "What's wrong with your face?" Well, there's a lot of ways you can answer that. Fortunately, this look is temporary, but this is what happens when you don't put your sunscreen on when you're a youngster. So, you know, you go and you have, when there's too many for him to freeze off or cut off, this is what they do to you. So, at any rate, I'll be fine. God's good. So. As Pastor Perry mentioned, we have been studying out of a book called The Case for Faith. A lot of really good information in here, a lot of very good takes on defending Christianity against some, which can be very difficult questions. So if you have the opportunity to read that, it's a very good read. So just wanted to pass that on to you. Some of the topics that we've talked about that are in the book, there are chapters on evolution. Again, understanding where things come from and that we are made by God. God kills people. That was a very difficult topic to talk about because it did happen. Jesus is the only way to God. It sounds kind of arrogant, but he said it. I didn't. How can a loving God send people to hell? Very good question. Because there is evil, loving God cannot exist. The two are mutually exclusive, according to some people. Miracles contradict science. So, therefore, there can't be any miracles. You can't walk on water, for example. History is littered with oppression and violence, so where is God? And then the one that I'm going to be talking about today is the one that says, I still have doubts. So therefore, I cannot be a Christian if I have doubts. And I've got a few things I want to talk about in that particular one. It's kind of heavy, though. So I want to start out doing something a little less heavy. All right? I want you to think of a number between 1 and 10. Got it? Multiply that number times 9. You're back in the third grade. All right. Add the two digits together. For example, 2 times 9, that's 18, so you add the 1 and the 8 together. All right, so add the two digits together. You got that number? Subtract 5. Excuse me, subtract 4. Subtract 4, my apologies. So add the two digits together, subtract 4. You got the number? All right. Correlate that number with a letter of the alphabet. In other words, A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, D is 4. Okay, so you got the letter? Okay. Think of a country starts with that letter. Got it? Go to the second letter of that country. Okay. Think of an animal that starts with that letter. Got it? Now think of the color that's typically associated with that animal. How many of you have a gray elephant from Denmark? Just one or two. All right. I must have messed something up. That's it. Did I build that up more than I should have? Well, you're laughing, so there we go. We're good. We're good. We should do that again. Next time I'll get it right. Maybe it's your arithmetic. What? You're supposed to end up with a gray elephant from Denmark, but pretty much. Or a yellow giraffe. All right, we're done. Okay. Okay. I did print it so I wouldn't mess it up. Top to bottom, left to right. That's a saying we have at the office when you need to read something. Top to bottom, left to right. All right. So, I still have questions, so I cannot be a Christian. I want to dispel that thinking today. If I could prevail upon you, if everybody could stand for a moment. Okay? I should say everybody that got here in a vehicle, either a car, a truck, something like that, everybody that got here in a vehicle, stand. Okay, so we're all standing, right? All right. Now, does your car, if you don't know the answer to this, sit down. Does your car have disc brakes or shoe brakes? If you don't know, sit down. Okay? Now, your vehicle has disc brakes or shoe brakes. Is it on, if you don't know the answer, sit down. Is it on all four wheels or just two? Oh, we're doing pretty good. All right, we're going to keep going. How many of you know whether your car has fuel injection or not? Okay. How many cylinders are in your engine? Well, you're doing a lot better than I expected. Next to last question, is your transmission 3-speed or 5-speed? If you don't know the answer, have a seat. Okay. Last question, when's the last time you checked your muffler bearing? There's a story about that. I'll get into it. I got to hurry. I don't have a lot of time. But my oldest brother had a 1957 Plymouth. And back then, in the old days, you know, back in the 60s, filling stations actually had people in there that would work on your car. They really did. I mean, they had mechanics in garages. And one guy who knew my brother told him that his car was making a funny sound. And remember, it's a 57 Plymouth. So he said, it's making a funny sound. I think your muffler bearing's going out. He said, I don't have one, but maybe you should try the Shell station down the street. So my brother gets in his car. Well, the guy at this station called his friend down at the Shell station and said, hey, I just sent a guy down here looking for a muffler bearing. And they sent him to five different places, everybody telling him they didn't have a muffler bearing, but try so-and-so. And then they call ahead to warn him that my brother was coming. For somebody had some mercy on my brother and explained that it was all a gig. So anyway. So some of the things that I want to talk about this morning, I want to hit on four topics. The first one is, do all your questions need to be answered before you follow Jesus? Can a believer have reservations or doubts? Is there hope for those whose personality tends to draw them toward uncertainty or doubt? And then the last one I want to look at, is there a process for resolving doubts when they arrive? Okay, so that's what we want to talk about this morning in those few things. The answer is no. Y'all answered it, that we don't have to know the answer to everything before we can follow Jesus. There were people that came to Jesus and asked him a lot of questions. And one of the things I've seen in the scripture is Jesus never criticized people for honest questions. He never criticized them for honest questions. Now, he did get after the ones that were trying to trap him, were trying to trick him. He did have answers for them. But the people that ask honest questions, quite frankly, some of them were kind of dumb. But he didn't criticize for people. John the Baptist was in prison, and he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one? Now, I would have said, well, what do you think? But Jesus said, the lame walk, the blind see, the lepers are cured. I'm preaching the gospel of the good news to the poor. Yes, I am the one that's coming. It was an honest question. He didn't say anything about it. The disciples, when Jesus told the parable of the sower, they said, we don't understand it. He explained it to them. Matter of fact, he went on to say, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to get any of them. So he explained the parable to the disciples with a question. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. In other words, it's not what you eat. It's not what you drink that defile a man. It's what goes out. It's the words, the thoughts, the actions. Those are the things that defile a man. Again, honest question. Jesus didn't, he just flat out answered it. And probably the best one, the best question, Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we're mostly probably familiar with it. He was a teacher of the law. He was a leader in the local assembly. He came to Jesus at night so that his friends wouldn't know that he was coming to Jesus to ask him a question. And Jesus has a very remarkable discussion with him. He says, during this discussion, you must be born again. Well, here's an adult, a teacher of the law, says to Jesus, what am I supposed to do? Go back to my mother and get born again? Kind of a dumb question. At least in my mind. But you know what? It was an honest question. And so Jesus answered him and said, no, that's, you need to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to be. And he explained that to him, even in the light of what may not be the smartest question that you could think of. Faith, asking questions does not mean that you don't have faith. There are things I don't understand. I don't know if I'll ever understand them. Asking questions doesn't mean that I don't believe in Jesus. Faith is not feelings. People have different temperaments. Now, have you ever watched a football game on TV? You're having a high state withdrawal this weekend. I don't know. But if you watch a football, you know, after somebody scores a touchdown or an interception or some kind of a really exciting play, the fans go crazy, right? At least the fans that are happy about that. But I want you to notice there are a number of fans that really don't, yay. Are they any less excited than the ones that go, ah, you know, doing that? I don't know. It's just that feelings can be kind of fickle, you know. Now, emotions vary. Again, they can be fickle. Myra and I have been married. You ready? Ready for the number? It's a big number. We've been married 46 years. Yeah. We're in our 47th. Okay. I got a feeling that she's not always pleased with me. But she loves me. Okay. There's times when love or respect or commitment will carry you through when the feelings are not there. Okay? Now, I look out here and I see there's a number of us that have had babies. Okay? Babies do not always, let's say 3 a.m., okay? Messy diapers. Maybe they've gotten sick in their bed. They're hungry. You love your babies, right? Is love the first emotion that's on your mind at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're... But why do you do it? Why do you minister to the needs of that child? Because that's what you do. Love may not be present at 3 o'clock in the morning, but the expression, the commitment will carry you through on that. We tried to teach our kids when they were growing up that going to work is not always a picnic, but you keep doing it. We tried to tell them that there's a reason they call it a job, you know. So it's what goes on. I want to dispel what I think are some myths that go about with what some people think about Christians and some things that a true believer, that I think that some people think that true believers never doubt, never have questions. They always are sure of what they're doing, sure of what God's doing and what's going on. Not true. True believers always do the right thing. OK. Okay? And true believers, the motives are always pure. Well, I found, we're going to talk about two examples in the New Testament, or actually one in the Old, one in the New, of people that were this. Abraham is referred to in the Bible as the father of the faith. Okay? Romans says that he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That Abraham is the one that took off from Ur, and God even just said, go to a place I'm going to show you. He didn't even know where he was going. And he had faith. Well, Abraham had a couple of issues. Number one, one time he was in the presence of the king, and his wife Sarah was a good-looking lady. At least that's what the Bible says. And Abraham was concerned that this king was going to kill him and take his wife Sarah because she was that good-looking. So what did Abraham tell Sarah to tell the king? Tell him that you are my sister. I don't know, that might fall under never doing the right thing, you know. There was another time with Abraham when God told him you're going to have a son. What was Abraham's reaction? Actually, that's pretty much how his son was Isaac, and that's kind of how you pronounce Isaac in Hebrew. It literally means he laughed. Falls under the category maybe of never doubt. Abraham, the father of our faith. The third thing I want to talk about is Abraham is God made him a promise he was going to give him a son. Well, Abraham got in a hurry. You know, this didn't happen quick enough. And that's how we end up with Ishmael, was where it was not the child of the faith like Isaac was. And so again, he tried to work things out without God. Here's the father of the faith that's making some mistakes. The second guy that I want to talk about is in the New Testament, is a fellow by the name of Peter. I'm sure that you've all heard of Peter. Peter was the one. The guy had some faith. Jesus was out walking on the water. And Peter said, if you really are Jesus, you tell me to get out of the boat and come out. And so Jesus, yeah, I'm he. So what, Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on water, right? We all know the story. What happened though? He began to look around him and I love the Bible, it says he began to sink. I don't know about you, when I jump in the water, I don't begin to do anything. I'm in. But he began to sink because he looked around and he saw what was going on. So he had some faith, but he started doubting what he was doing. Another time was Peter, he told Jesus, he said, you know, everybody else is going to leave you, but I never will. Well, he did. He abandoned Jesus. He disowned him three times, as a matter of fact, that he turned his back on Jesus. Those two happened before the Holy Spirit came to Peter. Well, I've got a couple of examples of Peter after the Holy Spirit. The first one, I think is kind of funny, but it's found in Acts chapter 10. Peter was praying, and up to this point, Peter had devoted his ministry, his life was devoted to working with the Jewish people. And God was in the process of changing his thinking. And if you've ever had your thinking changed, sometimes it can be a challenge to change your thinking. But anyway, he went up on the roof to pray. And while he was up there praying, the Bible says in Acts 10 that he fell into a trance. And in this trance, he saw God lower a sheet out of heaven, and it was filled with all kinds of animals. Okay? And God said to him, kill and eat. And I love Peter's answer. He said, surely not, Lord. He knew who was talking to him, but he still said, no. I love that. I've been there a lot of times when God, and I say, surely not. And then I put the Lord on the end of it, which makes me righteous. Okay? So Peter had some issues too. Secondly, in Galatians chapter 2, again, Peter ministered mainly to the Jews. Well, Paul's ministry mainly was to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles, the Greeks. Well, Paul noticed that Peter was not really associating with those people the way that he was supposed to. So Paul actually confronted Peter and said, you need to stop your, my words, not his, you need to stop your hypocrisy. And he corrected Peter, the guy that walked on water. Okay, because we all have the capability of going down this road. So if you have any questions about Christians never doubting, Christians always doing the right things, or Christians always having pure motives, I'm sorry. As long as we got the skin on, we're capable of doing these kind of things. Now, what hope is there for us? You know, I actually have three more examples. Moses, you know, God's still able to use us and do those kind of things. I think I skipped a page. Yeah. So, first of all, what hope is there for us? Number one, God never gives up on us. Never. Never gives up on us. Peter, after denying Jesus, after turning his back, he was restored. David, after adultery and murder, God still used him. Moses, after murder. You realize all the miracles Moses did was after he murdered somebody? Now hear me. I'm not telling you to go out and murder somebody this afternoon. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that God still uses people that are human. A true story. Lois will know my cousin Doug. My cousin Doug, his dad's name was Lloyd. It was my dad's youngest brother. So my Uncle Lloyd had emphysema. And I went to visit him several times while he was ill. I never shared the gospel with him. And I went to his funeral. And I got to tell you, I was sitting at the funeral feeling absolutely miserable because I had never shared the gospel with him. Well, I've been to a lot of funerals, a lot of weddings, a lot of things like that where the preacher will stand up and say things like he knew God. You know, God was real to him. And it's so vague. You can say that about anybody. But this pastor stood up and said that he went to visit my Uncle Lloyd. And he said, I led him in the sinner's prayer and he invited Jesus Christ into his heart as his personal savior. Now that is a whole lot more detail than he knew God. And I sat there convicted. And I made a promise to myself that no more of my relatives were going to die without me sharing the gospel with them. And that's happened. I've fulfilled that. I've gone to every single one of them. Now, most of them don't receive it. But see, God didn't give up on me, and he loved my uncle more than me to go send somebody else to see to it that it'll happen. Did that change the calling on my life? No, he doesn't give up on me. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He said neither height nor depth nor any other created thing is ever going to separate me from the love of God. He won't give up on us. So don't let your doubts chase you away from God. Don't let that happen. It isn't going to change your calling at all. The calling is still there. Again, Peter, in spite of mistakes, Moses, David, in spite of mistakes, the calling was still there. Don't let anybody convince you that because you've blown it a few times that you cannot be of service to God, because that's just flat out not true. There's a lot more in the scripture, but I'm just going to stop with those five people. I'm going to say that faith is a decision that we make. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning that for a long time, I was wrong on something. I had thought that Malachi 3, where God says, test me in this, when it talks about bringing the tithe into the storehouse, test me in this. I was thinking that that was the only scripture where God told us to test him. You know what I found out? I was wrong. We're going to get to it in a minute. When you find things where you're wrong, it's okay to change your theology. Matter of fact, I recommend you change your theology when you find something in Scripture for which you don't necessarily agree. So, it's made by the will. We're given that option by God's grace to be able to choose. We had the discussion in Sunday school this morning. How often do we get to choose that we're going to have faith? How often does that happen? About every couple of minutes, probably. Okay? We're empowered by His Spirit to have the ability to do that. Without His Spirit, we really don't have much choice. the Bible says in Proverbs that though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. I want to be the righteous one that when I get back up. I fall, I get back up. Here's the one that changed my theology as I'm studying and looking at this. John 7:17. I bet I've read this thing 100 times. But this time I read it and the Holy Spirit talked to me. And it says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, you see the word choose? That's a decision made in the will by me. I make that call. Anybody who chooses to do God's will, kind of get that as the first half. The second half says, he's going to find out whether my teaching is of my own or not, or whether it's from God or whether it's my own. So in other words, we can now look at everything Jesus ever said. And he's basically saying right there, you test me. You take anything I've said and you start doing it, and you're going to see whether I talk for myself or whether I talk from God. I have to change my theology. It's a lot broader than money. If I choose to do God's will, it will prove what Jesus said was true. Okay. Y'all probably already got that, but this was new to me in the last couple of weeks. So I'm finally catching up with you. Okay. Again, it's a matter of choice. We read this morning in the Gospel of Mark that the religious leaders, when Jesus was being crucified, he was on the cross, and the religious leader said, if he comes down from that cross, we will believe. No, they wouldn't. Because they saw the same stuff that everybody else saw. It says, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still wouldn't believe in him. It's a choice that we have. It's a choice that we can make. Are we going to walk in faith? Are we going to believe God or not? We choose that every single day. Now, what process is there to deal with what's going on? First of all, I think it's a normal process. I think it's a normal part of life. Again, this is, I guess, a day to tell difficult stories. Try to get through this. I got permission, so my daughter said it's okay. Years ago, our middle daughter was pregnant, and the doctors told her the baby was, if I'm saying this wrong, doctor, you can explain to us later, but acephalic. Basically, what that means is that up here at the top of the spine, there's a hole. And the amniotic fluid gets in that hole and the brain doesn't develop. Basically, the recommendation whenever that happens is abortion because the child's not going to live anyway. And why put the mother through childbirth and all of that if the result's going to be death? Why do that? Our daughter and her husband believed for a miracle. And they ask us to believe for a miracle too. 9 months she carried that baby with the idea that we're going to get a miracle. But if we don't, and again, you'll have to talk to Dr. Ray to explain this because I don't understand it. But if that baby takes one breath and then dies, then they're able to use the organs in a transplant. But the baby has to quicken before. I don't understand that. Okay. I'll be okay as long as you don't look at Myra. So, I'll talk to you folks. We prayed and we believed for 9 months. Well, 6 months, whatever the time period was from when we learned that diagnosis until that child came. We believed for that long that we're going to see a miracle or somebody else will as a result of this. Well, the upshot came 9 months. She delivered the baby and the baby didn't live. The baby didn't take a breath. We didn't get our miracle. Nobody else got a miracle for what we were believing for. What do you do with that? You stop believing God? Well, he didn't give me what I wanted. Therefore, my faith in him, it's misplaced. It's wrong. I shouldn't. Is that what you do? Just throw away things that you've believed because something didn't happen the way you thought that it should or you thought that it would or you thought that it might? No. But you can ask questions about that. Say, God, I don't understand. I thought, and you fill in the blank. What we found out is that genetically they aren't supposed to have kids because something genetically is going on that they aren't supposed to have kids. That they're all going to be like that. Well, guess what? About 3 years later, 4 years later, I lose track of time. She felt like God said, it's time to try again and it'll be okay. We now have two additional grandchildren because our daughter believed and didn't stop believing. Even though we didn't get what we wanted, God was still involved in our lives and God still speaks to us and God still answered prayer. We have two beautiful, one's 12 and one's 11 now. Don't give up. He's not going to give up on you. So don't give up on him. It's okay if you've got questions. One of the interesting things about Bible verse is that there was a dad. This is in Mark chapter 9, if you want to follow it. But it's in Mark chapter 9 where a dad had a little boy that had a demon. And the demon had tried to kill him since he was a little kid. Throw him into fires, throw him into water, tried to kill him, whatever. And the disciples could not deliver the boy from the demon. And so the dad goes ahead and brings the boy to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, can you help him? Or help him if you can. And Jesus says, if I can, all things are possible for him who believes. That's Mark 9:24, I believe. Everything is possible for him who believes. One of the best prayers in the Bible. The dad says, I believe. Help my unbelief. If you haven't learned that prayer, learn it today. If you don't learn anything else, you don't remember anything else from what we talk about this morning during this, learn that prayer. God, help my unbelief. I believe you, Lord. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And you know what? He will. He will. So, do his will. If you got questions about something, you don't understand what's going on, you got doubts, do his will. And it says he's going to prove to you that his words are right, that his words are true. Do his will. And then Jesus, help my unbelief. Powerful, powerful prayer. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you're not in a small group, get in one. Get in a church. Read your scriptures. Dig into things. Hear the word of God. And that's how faith comes. And it will replace doubts. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I like to call the personal ministry folks up if they would come. If you're dealing with any of these things, if you've got questions, if you've got things that you haven't answered, maybe you're in a tough spot right now where you can't really see the end from the beginning. You don't know what's going on. Maybe God has told you you need to pray for something and you haven't seen it come. Maybe you've got a relative that hasn't turned their life over to Jesus yet. These folks are going to be up here to pray with you. To help you through that. Can't guarantee you they're going to have the answers that you need, but they know the God that does. Let them pray with you. And you don't have to feel like you're not a Christian. You don't have to feel like you're no good. You don't have to feel like God can't use you because you've got questions or doubts, because he can, and I'll tell you, he will. Thank you, Jesus.